We honor your pastor and his wife. They've been so kind to us, so we appreciate this privilege to be here. Honor your Elder Wirtz, Sister Wirtz, and all the saints of God, faithful saints of the Lord here this morning. Any visitors that may be here, God bless each one of you if there are any visitors here. And let's go to the word of the Lord, the book of, we're going to go to the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms, chapter 91. I'll begin reading there. Now, I may get off of this subject here. I'll just let you know that. But we're going to start here. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. The Lord is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Hallelujah. I'm going to skip over. I didn't plan on going here, but I'm going to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55. Isaiah 55. And let's look at verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And let's ask the Lord to have his way this morning. Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, to have your perfect will. God, we pray that you would direct us as we look to you, God, on this Sunday morning. Lord, a word from heaven, a fresh word. God, a challenge to us, a strength to us. Your precious word, your holy word. God, we love you today. We love you, Jesus. We praise your name today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we love you, we love you, we love you, Savior. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm going to go in a different direction. We're going to use Isaiah chapter number 55. I was prepared to preach something else this morning, and I feel like the Lord is directing me to focus on this subject, seek the Lord while he is near. Seek the Lord. Actually, we've studied and preached several different messages about seeking the Lord. Pastor referred to one that you can actually turn the book of Acts chapter number 17, where Paul is preaching to the Athenians, and we may have referred to this on the night. If you were here, we preached about longing and hunger and hungering and thirsting for the Lord. Anyway, Paul was preaching to the Athenians, and in verse number 27 of Acts 17, he said that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Paul said this is the mandate of God, that we should seek the Lord. We should seek the Lord. When we look in the Bible, there are many different stories about seeking God and verses that that tell us that God expects us to seek after him, to seek after him. The book of Deuteronomy said, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and all thy soul." So for a few moments this morning, we'll go through some scriptures and just look at what the Bible says about seeking God. But I pray that you will get it right now, that you will understand at this moment that it is a mandate. It's not just a challenge. It's a mandate that we must seek after the Lord. Seeking God is your responsibility and my responsibility. We are put in this life, and there are many different testimonies of God that tell us God is in this world, and and there are hints and so on. But you and I will not find God by being stationary. We will not find God by not praying. We will not find God by not looking in our Bibles. The Bible said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. If you have a Bible question regarding speaking in tongues, regarding baptism, regarding the oneness of God, if you have a Bible question regarding holiness, it's up to you to seek the Lord and to search the scriptures. The book of Acts said regarding the Bereans, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed because they looked to the scriptures. And really, I don't know if anyone's dealing with this. It doesn't matter really what grandma did or what other religious organizations preach. They're going to be judged according to their works. They will be judged according to their own lives and seeking after God and so on, judged by the word of the Lord. But you and I today stand before the Lord, and you and I are responsible to seek the Lord while he may be found. Seeking after God. The book of 1 Chronicles, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And you are seeking something in your life. You are geared after something. You may have hobbies, and you may have things that you are learning, and you are that you're digging up in your life. But we need to make sure that in our lives that we are seeking God. Seeking God is the best life. It is a joyous life. Discovering the things of God, discovering the attributes of God. All the names of God in the Old Testament were revealed when men had needs and they sought after God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will see or provide. How will you find out how good God and how wonderful God provides for you unless you seek him in the time of need? But the Bible said, let the heart of them rejoice that seek after the Lord. You will find God is there in your darkest hour. You will find God will meet your needs. You will find God to be a healer. Jehovah Rapha. You will find the Lord to be peace. Jehovah Shalom. You will find the Lord to be your righteousness. Jehovah Zedkenu. The Lord will be your shepherd. Jehovah Roy. The Lord will be all of these things in your life. And all of these things are found, of course, in our relationship with Jesus Christ. But we've got to seek. We've got to seek. We've got to seek. Amen. So the Bible continues and it says, many of us remember this scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, and there's various aspects to revival, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. What a powerful verse that is, 2 Chronicles 7:14. It is the pivotal scripture in the books of Chronicles because of the ups and downs of the kings of Israel. It all depended on if a person, if a king, if the people of God would seek after the Lord. Amen. Paul said that they should seek him. In Acts 17, he said that they should seek the Lord and feel after him, though he be not far from every one of us. So seeking God is something that we are challenged to do. The hand of the Lord is upon all of them for good that seek him. In Ezra 8:22, revival is always prayers away. Revival is always available to the church. There may be dominant ages in the church. I don't know, you know, the church ages, but we know that there are seven kinds of churches that existed at one time. There will always be revival churches. There always have been revival churches. It's up to us as a church. It's up to us as individuals to seek after the Lord. Young men, if we pray, God will fill us with the Holy Ghost. If we study the word and we let the Lord convict us, God will make us flaming fires. The Lord, his hand is upon good. And Ezra was a revivalist. And he said, the Lord is always will bless those that seek after him. Amen. The Lord said in the book of Psalms 9:10, if thou, Lord, But thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek after thee. And I love this scripture, Psalms 27 and 4. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Oh, there's a promise to those that seek after the Lord. You all are here because you're seeking the Lord. Everyone has made the effort this morning to be here in the house of God. And most of us here, we came and we prayed and we have been worshiping. We're hearing the word of the Lord. And God has a blessing for us that seek after him. Let's all lift our hands and praise the Lord together this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Lord, you're a rewarder to those that seek after you. Amen. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, amen, it's impossible to please God. Amen. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and notice, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In Spanish, we have the phrase "vale la pena," which means it's valuable. The pena is the effort. It's worth the effort. Vale la pena. It's worth the effort. And say, we say, vale la pena estar por aquí. It's worth it. It's worth the effort to be here. Amen. It's worth the effort to seek after God. To take that time every day to pray, to push aside things, to set down some things. It's worth the effort to spread our Bibles out and to say for the next, 15, 30 minutes, an hour, I'm going to read and I'm going to just study the word and meditate on the word. It's worth listening to preaching. It's worth coming and hearing the men of God, our pastor, preach to us. It's worth worshiping the Lord. We come and worship. This is a time of privilege. This is a time we have reserved. And as we worship, our spirits are renewed. As we worship, we are giving praise to the only God in heaven and earth. He is worthy to be worshiped. We are seeking after God. Amen. We are seeking after the Lord. And you are equipped to be a seeker. You can be seated. Amen. Amen. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. If thou shalt seek me early, thou shalt find me. The book of Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Even in youth, the scripture said regarding Josiah the king as a 16-year-old, he prepared his heart to seek the Lord. He prepared his heart to seek the Lord, the God of his fathers. And then later it says, I'm sorry, that was, I think about Hezekiah, but regarding Josiah, the king, at a young age, in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father, at 16 years old. And God has blessed so many of our young people who in their youth have said, I'm not just going to shout and live off the blessings. I'm going to seek after God. It's good to shout, don't get me wrong, but I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start studying my Bible. I'm going to start giving my talents to God. And God raised up a great, wonderful king in the last days in spite of all the negative that had been prophesied. And I believe that there's a day of revival in our day. I believe there's a Josiah generation right now that is alive and well, that has made up their mind. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to see revival. I'm going to see a restoration of souls. I'm going to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost because I am going to seek after the Lord with all of my heart. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Seeking after God. Seeking after God. You can be seated. Seek the Lord while he may be found. While he may be found. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And I've read about the various gold rushes in the United States. And it's amazing. The cities that are built up, not just gold, but silver and so on. In one area of southern Arizona, We used to pastor in Sierra Vista, southern Arizona. I forget how many. I think we had 15 ghost towns in our area. Some of them, at their height, had 5 to 10,000 people. And now they're just buildings and so on that are out there in the desert or the scrub or the forest because the treasure that they were seeking, it played out. But men took the opportunity. We know of the Klondike Gold Rush. It's an amazing thing. When the opportunity came for common men and people that had the capacity and maybe the time to go. It was riches. And most of the time, you know, there wasn't that many that became actually wealthy, but thousands and tens of thousands of men made that trip up in Alaska and then crossed over Alaska into Canada over snow. And they had to pack most of their equipment because it was a time of opportunity. It was a time to find gold. Gold fever got a hold of them. And then it was Nome, Alaska. And before that, it was the 49ers that went to California. There have been gold rushes around this world. And there have been treasures to be found around this world. You know, some of the modern treasure stories I could share with you. People that have been looking for treasure in Britain have found gold that goes back to the days of the Anglo-Saxons that was worth tens of millions of dollars. A young couple just strolling along their land in Northern California up by Eureka, they noticed something shiny under an oak tree or by an oak tree. And as they came and began to inspect, they found, I believe, 10 different cans. And in the cans were pristine gold coins from the days of the gold rush, worth over $10 million. Other people, their lives are set to be seekers. There are people that they buy metal detectors, people that study documents. There are men that their lives are dedicated to finding underwater and underground shipwrecks and treasures. They say that there's over 1,000 shipwrecks all alone off the coast of Colombia, and many of them have millions and hundreds of millions of dollars of treasure just waiting to be found. There are thousands and tens of thousands of treasures that are in this world that are just there waiting to be discovered, and you and I have treasure at our reach. You and I have the treasures of the Lord, the treasures of holiness, the treasures of God's word, the treasures of understanding and wisdom and revelation. Paul wrote, and if we read slowly and we read and we're thinking about what we read, you can be seated in the book of Ephesians particularly and Colossians. Paul writes of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Bible is full of scriptures regarding to seek the Lord. If you seek him as hid treasures, the book of Matthew chapter 13 said, the kingdom of God is like a treasure hid in a field. The kingdom of God is like the pearl of great price. And somebody looking, somebody seeking is more apt to find it. You and I have the ability, just like there is technology now that allows people to find metal. There's even more advanced technology, and some of you know it. Helicopters that have these things that they tow under them, and they give soundings. They make certain kinds of noise. They put out certain types of wavelengths, and they are able, as they travel over the land, to find if there is oil beneath the surface of the land. Various devices that can find treasure and can find things that they are looking for. But I want to show you the parallel. There is a parallel because every human being has the ability to find God. Paul said again in Acts, we'll treat that as our second text, Acts chapter 17, he said that they should seek the Lord. Every human being has the ability to seek God. Amen. You don't have to study world religions to find God. You don't have to be an intellectual. You don't need a degree to find God. Because every single human being, no matter where you are surrounded by the hints. And you are surrounded by the Bible, or the theologians call it the universal witness of God. I don't want to get bogged down in this. We're talking about seeking the Lord. Seek him while he's near. Seeking the Lord. Amen. But the Bible tells us, and students of the Bible tell us, that there are three universal witnesses of God. And I thank God he's leading us. I remember actually last night and earlier this morning, God speaking to me about this. I wasn't going to preach about this, but I feel like I'm in the Holy Ghost this morning. But the universal witness of God, number one, there is the witness of creation. Some of you have memorized or looked at Psalms 19, and this is a theme that is throughout the Bible, where it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth language. Night unto speech showeth knowledge, I believe. There is no speech nor language. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And so that means that the creation is speaking to men from the time that they are born. When we investigate, and this is, it's a related subject, but when you talk about creationism versus evolution, evolution has so many gaps. Evolution has so many faults. Evolution is a theory. It cannot be proved. Obviously, to all of us lay people, we know that there are not animals in between that are walking. There's not all of these bridges. They are far apart. And the species, many of the species, for you that have studied human A&P and so on, you know that many of the species have completely different chemical chains that work in them. That their tissues are not able, you can't put this tissue from this animal into another tissue. It will be rejected, not just because it has different DNA, but because the way that it works is completely different. And not only just small, it's a number of systems. It could number in the hundreds and maybe in the thousands. How one close species is completely different than another. Yeah, I can get off on this and we could waste. I don't want to waste time, but I want to get to where I'm going here today. But as scientists look into creation, they find design. The answer is design. And so the scientists, the astronauts, the physicists, all of them, as they look into creation, they find design. They actually have this mentality, and this is kind of, hypocritical, in that they have the mentality, they're looking for an answer, they're looking for things that make sense, and yet, if everything was chaos, why should they look for things that make sense? But they find things that reflect design and balance, and so on. But anyway, let's just kind of move away from that. So even like the animals and their beauty, the relationship of families, all of this is the design of God. Being able to just love one another and have this mother-child relationship, the husband and wife relationship, all of these things are a testimony of a creator that has made all of this. In this solar system, we have 10, I don't know, depends, planets, we'll just say 9. And the Earth is the only one that has any type of life. Not just one or two, but millions and millions of species, each one of them with their own design, each one of them that fill an ecological cycle. The world renews itself, and it's got design in its patterns, design in exactly the tilt of its, the speed of the rotation of the Earth. There is design in how much mass is in the moon and how the moon rotates around the Earth. There is design in all of these things. The world is intricately designed, and the heavens are declaring the glory of God. From the time we are born, we are surrounded. We are surrounded. Now, let me just interject this. I've been thinking about this and to interject this into the message at some point. But wouldn't it be terrible if you were born into this world without any hints at all as to why you were here? But you are. You are given hints. From the time you are born, God is talking to you. Would you buy a game? Would you buy a game that didn't have a way to move on, to win? Would you go, none of these big computer games, and I'm not promoting computer games, you would never, some of them are fun and some of them are not, and they're bad and they're wicked and we don't play them. Someone say, praise the Lord. But they know that people want the challenge. They know human beings are inquisitive. They know human beings are creative. And so they hide the hints. And it's not just like if you only go here, the only way you're going to advance is if you go to this corner, that's the only way. No, there's redundant hints. Sometimes there's two or three or four different ways to progress. Some are harder than others. But they know that the person that is inquisitive, the person that's looking, they want to make sure that there's a way so they could advance. And they're doing that for money. But God has put human beings in this earth. And from the time we are born, there are people that give up And this is another message in itself, but I'll go ahead and say it, that people that give up on life and kill themselves and they say there's no answer, or people that just go crazy and they throw away all morals and they say, well, there's no God anyway, why does it matter? Or people that just drown themselves in drugs trying to escape, saying, while I'm alive, I'm going to try to enjoy. There's no reason to live anyway, but they are ignoring the fact that there is a reason and God is speaking to them. We talked about the creation. That's the universal witness. And the Bible said in the book of Romans, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. This is Romans 1:20, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No matter where you are at in this world, there is a God that is speaking to you. No matter where you're at, you can walk away from God. You can say, I'm an agnostic. You can say, nobody here is probably hopefully saying that. You can say that you're dumb, and I hate to use that word, that you are lacking in intelligence, hallelujah. And that because, that religion is the opiate of the masses, and you're all being, all of this. And my answer to that is, just by using logic, you can be no smarter than Isaac Newton. You can be no smarter than the brilliant men that are Christians. You cannot, in your intellect, find if there is or is not a God, but God is speaking to everyone from the time that they are born. Walking away from God is a decision not of the mind but of the heart. It's a decision that is based in rebellion, a decision that is based in not wanting responsibility. It's a decision that is based in running from God. And you can give me all the arguments, I don't care how smart you are, there is a God, and God is speaking to us from the time that we are born. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. God is speaking to us through the creation. It's all around us. The song of the birds, the laugh of the baby, the love that's in our family. It all tells us there is a God. And there is something more beautiful. And the story ends. It can end beautiful. And life can be a wonderful story. It doesn't have to be a big wreck. It doesn't have to be something without hope. And the Lord has given to us the hope of eternal life. And the Lord has given to us the hope of heaven. And the Lord has opened the way. And he's paid the price for us. And all we have to do is begin to seek after him and follow him. Seek him while he is near. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The second witness, universal witness, I'm not sure if I'll spend much time on this, but the second universal witness is our conscience. And contrary to what they try to teach you in school today, they'll never change the design of men. The Bible said if the Gentiles, the book of Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 14, with the Gentiles having not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing them witness in the day in which God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. But Paul wrote, and this is just one scripture, but the Bible said that God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul, and that man is made in the image of God. And man, not only in his physical appearance, made in the image of Jesus Christ, but also in the way that he thinks and in his own consciousness. Man in the beginning could feel God. He could talk to God. When he sinned, he was cut off from God, and he could no longer feel God and be aware of spiritual things like he was before in the garden. But now that man has been restored, God offers a rebirth, a new birth. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you get the life of Christ in you, all of a sudden you can see the things of God. You become aware of what's right and wrong, like you were just walking. The Bible said, let the dead bury their dead. Jesus said, they're all dead. They're dead spiritually. But when you become alive in the Holy Ghost, you feel there's things the Holy Ghost said, no, that's not good. Things the Holy Ghost said, this is wonderful, seeking God. And the Holy Ghost helps you long after God. You know that even before you're saved, the Holy Ghost is what moves on you. The Holy Ghost is what draws you to his presence. And the Lord said, and I think we're getting toward the end here, the Lord said, don't grieve my spirit. He said, don't grieve my spirit. Because when God is reaching for you, that's when you need to be seeking God. Jesus, as Pastor mentioned, there were times, and I'll say the third witness is the Bible. the Third Universal Witness. He said, well, not everybody has a Bible. It is the most published book, the most translated book. 99% of the world's major and minor languages have been translated into at least one portion of our, a portion of the Bible has been translated into 99% of the languages of this world. And complete Bibles in every single major and mid-level and most of the smaller languages. The Bible. Why would it sell if it wasn't so popular? You compare the Bible to the book, to the Quran, to the Bible of the Mormons, and so on. It's not even, and most of them don't even read it that much. And why does the Bible, why is it so well-read? Why is it so popular? Why has it withstood communism? Why has the Bible withstood so many detractors? People said the Bible would become old, and the Bible would show itself to be, you know, out of date and wrong and so on. But that's not the case. And if you buy into this thing that the Bible, that these were all, you know, just men that made up all this, you're not studying, you're not seeking God. All it takes is to read just a few articles, and you will understand that when the Islamics say, or when the Jehovah's Witnesses say, or when the Mormons say the Bible is so corrupted, that's a myth. Because we have enough New Testament pieces of the scrolls that they wrote on within 150 years of Jesus Christ. We have 5,000 to 6,000 pieces of the New Testament written in Greek, and you can put them all together and make a whole New Testament. That's how much we know what the Bible says. We know what it says, and the errors are very, very small. And I won't go into that. You need to seek it yourself. If anyone's here today and you're going to buy into this superficial American culture that just lives on entertainment, and you're going to try to hide, you won't be able to hide behind it. I'm sorry, you won't. You're going to have to study yourself. And it's not a lot of study. We don't preach. You got to study your way into the kingdom of God. But you got to find the answer. You don't buy your answer. You don't take your answer off of television, where they're trying to just get your money and excite your carnal passions and make you feel okay, and I'm okay, and you're okay, and everybody's okay. And the Bible doesn't say anything about homosexuality and all this. It does say something, and the Bible is still true. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but His word will never pass away. America will rise and fall, and I love America, but American culture's not going to tell me how to and what's right and wrong. I'm sorry, folks. That's like listening to kindergartners to tell you how to live your life. And I'm not going to listen to Hollywood. I'm not going to listen to the actors and actresses. I'm not going to listen to modern music. I'm not going to listen to that to tell me when God is moving and what God is doing. Seek the Lord. Let's all stand together this morning. Amen. The Bible tells us, in the midst of all these witnesses, the creation, our conscience and our makeup, and the prevalence of the Word of God everywhere in this world. The Bible tells us that it's the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So we have within us the ability to feel after God in prayer and worship, seeking after God, seeking after God, seeking after God. My grandmother was a woman of prayer, got the Holy Ghost in 1955, came out of the Roman Catholic Church, and God helped her, and she lost her marriage and so on. But she was a woman of prayer. And God showed her the way, and she was seeking. God, I don't know the way. She met an apostolic lady from the Spanish Apostolic Church in Central California. She went to that church, and of course she thought it was crazy, speaking in tongues, running the aisles, shouting. But she felt something. She had been such a devout Catholic, praying to God, praying the rosary. And even at a young age, had gone into a monastery for a little while, and then finally got rescued out of that. Thank the Lord. But when she finally came to the place where she realized, this leader, my priest, is drinking buddies with my husband, and he won't help me. My husband is being immoral, and they're just in it together. And it just, she began to say, this is not the way. What's the truth? Where is the truth? She kept going to this apostolic church. I don't know how many times, but one night she was driving home. And she was crying. She was saying, God, there are so many churches. I don't know what church to go to. I'm confused. But evidently she knew that this apostolic church had something. It had power. She said, God, show me the way. And she said. Now, I'm not basing my conviction or my message on her vision, but she had a vision. And the Bible does talk about visions and angels giving, you know, God giving visions and angels giving direction and so on. She said while she was driving that car in Central California at night, driving by herself, she said she saw a vision of a hand come down in front of a car. And she says, in Spanish, she said, Margarita, en vano me ha servido toda su vida. Yo soy el camino, la verdad y la vida. She said, Margaret, in vain you have served me all these years. I am the way, the truth, and the life. She said the Spirit of God filled that place, filled that car. She began to speak in other tongues as the glory of God filled that place. She pulled over to the side. God showed her the way. She was seeking God. She was seeking God. The Holy Ghost is still real today. You will find no other message. I know we wonder, how is it that we have found ourselves in this place? We are privileged. But in the Bible, the book of Acts, the only history book in the church, nobody got the Holy Ghost any other way than speaking in tongues. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. You can find no outward evidence other than speaking in other tongues. It was prophesied about in Isaiah 29, where the Bible said with stammering lips, or 28, with stammering lips and another tongue, would he speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest and this is the refreshing. And yet for all they would not hear, speaking in tongues is the manner which the Spirit of God flows through you and praises the Lord. You will not find your what you're looking for. You will not find what you're seeking after until you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baptism in Jesus' name is the only way to be baptized in the Bible. No other baptism. No one was ever baptized in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. There is no Trinity. It's not mentioned in the Bible. The book of Acts was all Jewish for the first 10 years. Did you know that? 10 years, all Jewish. All the Jews only believed in one God. The Bible is very simple, that Jesus Christ is the express image of the invisible God, or the express image of God, that he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but my Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Isn't it that simple? Jesus said, to wit that God, Paul wrote, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The Bible never says, never contains the phrases God the Son or God the Holy Ghost. It speaks of Jesus Christ as both the Son of God and the Son of Man. There's a dual nature in Christ, but he is not the second person of the Godhead. You never find the words two or three relating to God. It's only one God. From the first portion of the scriptures, where it said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart. One God, Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, seeking God. There was a day in this area, in Kansas and in Missouri, the Holy Ghost was being poured out, and thousands of people were receiving the Holy Ghost in the early 1900s, and the largest organizations or fellowships were Trinitarian at that time. People that had the Holy Ghost were seeing the revelation that only people that in the Bible, they were only baptized in Jesus' name. And they began to study the scriptures, and God began to reveal to them that the one God message is the only true message of the Bible. But they had to choose while he is near. And it came to a climax in one area where at a large meeting, I believe 1917, at the Assembly of God national meeting, that as they challenged the one God men who were baptizing in Jesus' name. They said they would let it go by, but then they brought it to a challenge in 1917, and one-third of the Assembly of God ministers walked out. They said, we're going to go with the name of Jesus. We're going to go with what the Bible says. We're not going to go with the traditions of men. And from that day, there's been this veil. But you're going to have to seek after God. If you want to be saved, you have got to seek after God. It's not about pleasing an organization. I don't want to even spend, we're at a close right now. But you got to be willing. You got to be willing to walk away from the comfort of what the world espouses. I'm telling you, folks, you can. You got to study. It's right here in the Bible. The message of the Trinity is not from the Word of God. It's a veil that keeps people from seeing Jesus Christ as God manifest in the flesh. It's just another way of the devil putting something between men to make God an impersonal God that cannot be understood. And they will say, we can't understand. You don't have to understand the Trinity. Just accept it by faith that there are three co-equal and co-eternal persons and that they all work together as one. It doesn't make sense. It's not biblical. Why should I, if I broke away from the Catholic Church as I did, then why should I feel obligated to espouse a doctrine that was not in the early church? And according to history, did not even become formulated until 300 years after Christ. Study it for yourself. I will not go down with their boat. I will not accept that. I'm only going to accept the message of one God. And they can persecute us. They can try to take away our churches. They can do what they want to. But I want to be willing to die for the name of Jesus, to die for baptism in Jesus' name, to die for the oneness of God, speaking in other tongues. Now that God is dealing with you, now's the time. As Pastor said, I'm closing, all the people that when Jesus came by, there was the woman at the well, or the woman that had an infirmity, and she went by and she touched Jesus. There was Bartimaeus who, when Jesus was walking by, said, "This is my chance." And he went out, he threw down his coat, and he was healed of his blindness. Today is the day of salvation. What do you need to do today? Do you need to receive the Holy Ghost? Do you need to be baptized in Jesus' name? Today is the time. While the Lord is near, now is the accepted time. Let's come and let's seek after the Lord. Let's worship the Lord.